takes a long time to get used to that. Once you get used to it, you can kind of do it as much as you want and embarrass your family and everything. But hopefully that won't happen this morning. Let's turn our attention to the Word of God. And I'd like to read from Romans chapter 8 and begin at verse 28. Very familiar to us. But let me pray for us. Our Father, we pray for your Spirit to open our eyes and our ears to hear from your wonderful word. We thank you that you speak to us, and we pray, Lord, we respond exactly the way that you've called us to here in growing and overflowing faith. And we ask in Christ's name, amen. The word of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Word of God. As we think about the beginning of another year, I want to call your attention this morning to a doctrine that's important and indeed central to us in our Reformed faith, the doctrine of predestination. And I want to speak about that as it's related to certainty, the certainty of faith in Christ, the certainty of salvation. in this text, the apostle wrote to the Romans about predestination in order to help them to be certain. So he's writing to believers. He's acknowledging the realities of the difficulties that each of them faces. And in that very context, he traces the goodness and faithfulness of God to them, which is unchangeable, back to an eternal purpose that God has, the eternal purpose that God has in the life of every believer. Now, most of the time, we tend to think of the doctrine of predestination as something of a problem. If we bring it up, someone will object, possibly with anger. So perhaps we are hesitant to bring it up. But is that best for the church? You see, it was not a problem in the Apostle Paul's mind. In other words, it wasn't a subject to be raised for the sake of controversy or to be shunned because of fear of controversy. Rather, the Apostle brings it up in order to bring certainty to people, in order to assure them in the midst of suffering, in order to enable them to face difficulty. We're not better off without predestination, as someone thinks, or maybe that this was just for the brainy people, you know, or for seminary discussions or something like that. Well, that's not true. Paul writes this to the church. He writes this to the church of the Romans. He knows a lot of them, but he's not actually been there yet. And so he writes the letter to the Romans as a kind of preface to his gospel so that they understand what he's preaching before he comes to them to go on in his missionary work from there. So it's not just the captains of the ship who are concerned about predestination, while the rest of us can go about the Christian life more or less in smooth sailing without it. That's not true. When we think about life, we realize, in fact, there is a lot of rough weather, and that is exactly what Paul brings up with the believers at Rome. As I say, he writes this to normal Christians. He says in verse 17 that the present time is a time of sufferings until Christ returns from heaven, until the resurrection of the body. And there are things that could separate us from the love of God. At least we fear that they could. He lists some of those in verse 35. Tribulation, distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. We may not be in danger of persecution immediately, though there are many, many Christians in the world today who are. But there's plenty of danger. There's plenty of danger in Washington, D.C., or to put it less dramatically than that, there's a contracted economy. That's something like famine or nakedness. And we ask the question, what will the future bring? What will the future bring to your plans, to your hopes and dreams? Will you be able to cope if you lose what you have? And all these things bring anxiety to us, and they've always brought anxiety to believers. And there's nothing wrong about that, and that's why Paul wrote this chapter. He wanted the believers there and then, and he wanted us to be certain that it is impossible to be separated from the love of God. And if we're not sure about God's love for us, we might just drown. Now listen to verses 37 and following. No, he says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present